The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Poppy knows I'm drilling J's, son. I'm drilling J's. It's Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out with Mafia. 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. So, Carlos Rodon with a no-hitter tonight. Mafia, tell him what's happened between you and I the last several shows we've done.
Well, you know, we've done the show Friday, you and I, and then Carver did Monday with you, and then I did last night and tonight. So two of the last three times you and I have worked together on this show, we've had no hitters where a guy hit the guy for losing the perfect game. Friday night with Musgrove and tonight.
And both guys beamed a batter.
Yeah.
And irregardless of what inning, Rodon did it in the ninth, and then Musgrove did it earlier in the game, but they both threw no hitters. And all I know is the Musgrove was the first in Padres franchise history, and I don't think so with the White Sox, but I know that Rodon with a beautiful no-hitter tonight at the south side of Chicago, and the Cubs, what do they call that, Progressive Field? I can't even remember the name of it. All I know is the guy threw a no-hitter. Guaranteed rate field, they call it now. What could be worse than having that as the name of your stadium? I mean, don't you remember when it, like, you were too young, but Comiskey Park was just so awesome. I mean, I used to go to Comiskey Park as much as Wrigley Field, and I've even showered in the outfield at Comiskey Park. Not only that, I've been at Comiskey Park when I was 9 years old drinking. I was drinking at nine. My friend got a stomach ache at the game. We had a birthday party, and there was like six of us that went with the two dads, and there was like eight people in the party, six kids, two dads, and then one of the kids got an upset stomach, so the dad's like, give him some brandy. That'll cure anything. And sure enough, we started drinking shots of brandy. Everybody, I'm like, let me taste one. And then my future went downhill from there. I just have to say, from the standpoint of alcohol, I was a champion, a professional drinker for many years. Professional. Mafia knows. I was a pro's pro. But either way, Rodon with a no-hitter tonight, Mafia, against the Indians. No small feat. I will say that in that game, all I know is your boy Mercedes-Benz. Every time I turn around, this guy's hitting mammoth home runs. He hit a 431-foot bomb to left field. And a three-run shot. I mean, this guy is no joke. He is on fire to start the season. Your boy Mercedes, Ben Yarmin Mercedes, getting involved. And then you get the pitcher throwing the no-hitter. I wonder if that'll turn around their season because, frankly, they're a 500 team, Mafia. They have not lived up to any kind of high expectations. After the great season last summer, that in the COVID summer, let's face it, the Padres and the White Sox were the two surprise teams of Major League Baseball, and everybody and their brother had the White Sox, you know, winning the division and going back to the playoffs this year, and they've started out rather sluggishly.
Yeah, Scott, you know,
they really have.
And the big thing, too, is, you know, you're going to see now all these pitchers that don't go any distance. You can never bet on the pitcher because it can hit the bullpen at some point. You have to worry about the White Sox and the Russo. You had Lance Lynn with the complete game shutout, and now this guy let go all the way for the no-hitter.
We welcome in our radio affiliate, Sirius XM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near Tijuana, Tijuana, and all of Southern California. And then Sports Map and Sports Byline Radio Networks, Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Give me a hoorah, soldier, hoorah. Your boy Joe Biden today said that he's pulling all of the troops, literally all troops from Afghanistan in May. That's it. 20 years after 9/11, whatever, it's over. He's yanking them out of Afghanistan and saying, good luck to you. We're leaving. Everyone's coming home. So everyone that's listening in Afghanistan on Armed Forces Radio, we love you. You're a bunch of badasses. You're animals. And thank you for your service. Mavi and I are big fans of soldiers. This to the soldier. This to the soldier. This one's for the soldier. Boom, 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 boom. I can't keep track of all the heavy metal music that Mavi has turned me on to, but I remember that song. I don't remember any of the other words, but something about soldiers. I liked it. Very thrash metal. I used to listen to a lot more thrash metal when I was on Howard 101 than I do now. I used to listen to liquid metal a lot more, Mafia, then than I do now. But I still love speed metal, heavy metal. Remember that phase I went through, Mafia, where we were driving to work every night and I was playing speed metal and you were very concerned about my mental stability? Because I was playing death metal, speed death thrash metal. Mafia was like, there's something wrong with him. He's old and he's listening to this music. And he probably thought I was on drugs. Who knows?
You're listening to the home of the winning edge.
We're always here.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you don't have to mark your calendar or anything.
What do you got going on anyway? That's what we thought.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So, Mafia, I was watching the One Championships again on TNT tonight. They had another card. I don't know. I just watched the main event. The main event was this guy, whatever, Christian Lee, the champion, fighting this Russian. And he was so bad that and he got his ass beat so badly that I'm not even going to say his name. I don't even want to try to say his name, Yashterkian or something like that. All I know is I don't care. He got his ass beat so bad. The guy never threw one punch. He never landed one punch, nothing. He just, Lee came across the cage and just absolutely beat the crap out of him. And the ref stopped it. It was just so fast and so violent. And so it was like a tornado. Like this guy came over and just, he tornadoed him. Like, what was that I watched? That was devastating. I mean, a five-round championship belt fight, and it was over in like 20 seconds.
Yeah, it was really quick. You know, the Russian took a big swing there and kind of slipped on the cage. I don't know if it was, you know, sweat or blood or, you know, just he lost his footing because he swung too hard, but kind of went down there, and Lee just pounced on him, got right behind him, started wailing with the right hooks, you know, right into his head, right to the temple. Got a, you know, he tried to get back up, kept hitting him on the side. knocked him back down. The guy was getting pummeled for about 20 seconds there, where Lee was just unloading on him, and then he went back down. The ref, you know, finally stopped it and jumped in. And of course, then afterwards, you see the guy, he got the arms open, like, well, I was fine. I was, you know, recovering. It's like, dude, you were getting your ass kicked for like 15, 20 seconds. The ref let it go longer than he should have, to be honest. But, you know, again, it's okay. You know, the fight's quick. There's nothing you can do about it. At least it was some action. The fight before it, I was watching with the women, and, you know, they had like this pro Muay Thai kickboxer that was fighting in the MMA cage. It was one of her first times. It had a good, you know, TKO with a good body kick. So you had some good finishes, at least. It wasn't like the DQ with Alvarez like you had last week. But two quick fights, and then you're showing the highlights of your champion pummeling this guy, and they make it to a little small box, and the big center box, they start throwing on a Geico commercial. You can barely see the highlight going on. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I know they're sponsoring the fights, but wait till afterwards. Go to commercial after you put the belt on the guy. The highlights is what we want to see, and you're putting in a tiny little box.
Oh, my God. I told you the last time they had it on there a week ago that it was embarrassing, that broadcast. It was so poorly done that, like, I feel like they should call you and I to go over there and do it, because I know I think I could do better baked. I think if you and I were drunk and high, we could do better than what I've been watching. I only watched the 20 seconds tonight. The other night I watched it with that whole crew they had going. It was embarrassing. You know I'm right. It was bad. And then I don't know if it was – obviously you're saying it, that they mishandled the ending of that fight with showing highlights in the corner in a teeny-weeny monitor. Meanwhile, they got the Geico ad running. It is what it is. But I just think what I watched was – I just thought it was shoddy. I thought it was, you know, amateur hour.
Yeah, and some of the camera angles, they were jumping so quick. You know, you couldn't even tell who. You had to go look at the tape glove, the tape on the glove to tell who was who, because, you know, the red and the blue. Otherwise, like, they should have had them in different colored shorts. They should have had some other way. You know, you can adjust after a second or two, but in the middle of a fight, the last thing you want to be trying to do is figure out which guy's which. So I thought they could have figured that out as well a little bit better than they do. I mean, that's one thing the UFC does really well, is that, you know, they give these guys or girls, like, this is the color you're wearing. And, you know, they might not like it that they don't have all the sponsorships, but at least, you know, kind of like jerseys in football and basketball, where you know they're two different colors and you kind of point it out that way. Like, have the shorts be different colors. Don't let them do the same colors. We don't know. We got to look at the color of the tape on your glove to figure out who's who.
So how do you think Clarissa Shields is going to do in MMA fighting?
I think she's going to do well. You know, I think that women's is obviously a little less – not a little less. There's a lot less depth in the women's MMA game. And she's doing it right, I think, not rushing into it. She's taking her time. You know, she could have just rushed in and started fighting last year or, you know, tried to get right into that. But no, she's taking her time trying to learn the craft and, you know, going with a good camp there that she's working with. So I think she's going to do the right thing and, you know, do well. I think she's also being smart, where she's not like, okay, well, I'm a champion, so throw me right in the UFC. I'm a name. So I think the UFC should sign me and, you know, give me Nunez right now. You know, she's not trying to fight champions right away. She's going into the PFL, a lesser organization, working her way up, and then, you know, if she gets good enough, then maybe she'll make the jump. She's doing the same kind of thing that we saw with, you know, Kayla Harrison doing right now, where she was going through the PFL as well and kind of has fought in other organizations now as well, where she's, you know, gone up the ranks of these lower ones and gotten herself better in the sport instead of trying to jump right to the top just because you made your name in another, you know, discipline. And power to her. I mean, she's doing everything with the boxing, promoting it, running it, trying to promote women like she did with that card that she had in her last fight, where it was all women pay-per-view. You know, she's doing whatever she can to make the sport better for everybody and, you know, making her name in the MMA as well.
Is Harrison in the UFC now?
Not yet, no.
So she's like the champion of the PFL, right?
Yeah, I got to check and see if she's still in the PFL. I think she moved on to another one, but she, you know, is working her way up, and she will be in the UFC eventually, but she's doing it smart, not rushing and trying to go right to the top and fighting the best of the best before she's really a full, you know, mixed martial artist.
So let's talk about Conor and Diamond. So obviously McGregor and Poirier are going to go at it July 10th. First of all, your reaction to the fact that they're going to fight in front of a full sold-out house at the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. No 25%, 50%, none of that. They're going to sell it out, and they are going to rock out in Sin City at the T-Mobile, the home of the Knights, the best arena in sports. It really is. It's the, I mean, I've been in all of them, and that is the baddest arena in sports for boxing, for UFC, for hockey. It's just the best. It's incredible. And especially where it is right there on the strip, it's just insane. It's just such a party. And then they're going to fill it for that fight. And it seems to me that that's just a bad idea.
Well, first of all, I just looked it up, and Kelly Harrison is still in the PFL. She was going to fight with Titan because PFL was canceled last season with COVID. But then that fight ended up falling through. Her opponent had a bad weight cut, had to go to the hospital. So she's back in the PFL this season. But, yeah, I just think that's a lot of risk. And, you know, it's not the first time they're taking it, obviously. They're going to fight in Jacksonville this month. They're going to go in Houston next month. Both of those are going to pack house and, you know, load it with everybody that they can. And, you know, it's nice to say that, hey, you know, we're back to normal, but the country isn't yet. Yeah, people are getting more vaccinations. People are getting, you know, better against this, but we still have all the extra variants that are out there. We don't know if, you know, the vaccine completely protects against those. There's no guarantee that we're all good to go and go business as usual. And let's look at where they're doing it, too. Florida, Texas, Nevada. Weren't those three the biggest hot spots when we started getting the second wave and these other spikes? Like, those are three of the worst spots that we had. And yet they're just trying to go business as usual in all of them. You know what? You want to take the risk, that's on you. I'm sure, you know, there's going to be plenty of people who are vaccinated, plenty of people, you know, masks, and, you know, trying to keep space. But if you're packing the house, it's impossible to keep space. Those seats are right up on top of each other. I think that's too risky to be jumping right back into. I think it should be more of, you know, maybe half capacity, even three quarters. Just space it out a little bit at least.
Why do you think like Canada's so bad? I don't understand. Like, we talked to Cam Stewart all the time that, like, Toronto's completely locked down. You can't even, like, leave your house.
They're having another wave going right now because they don't have a lot of vaccines. They have no companies producing it up there. They're all out of country, and then those countries are starting to kind of hog them to themselves and not send them up there until their people are vaccinated. So I think it's, you know, from what I read, is less than 2% of the population of Canada is fully vaccinated at this point, so they're very far behind us.
So when we come back, we'll talk about Connor and Diamond and who Mafia at this early stage thinks is going to win that fight. Can Connor McGregor do what he did with, like, Diaz and come back in the second fight and win and be ready for this fight in a different capacity than he was the first time when Poirier kicked his ass? Raw on the Bench with Mafia. I think the first time, you know, not the initial first time when McGregor beat Poirier, but the second fight that was recent, the last one that we just saw where Poirier beat him and dominated him and they stopped the fight because he was pummeling him. I just, you know, I wanted him to win so badly. I just was so into Poirier. He's one of my favorite fighters. I love his style. I love the way he works. I love his ferocity and all that. And then I just was so jacked that he beat him. And I never, like, look, I didn't respect the cowboy win for McGregor. That was easy money. That was just a money grab and just go in there, fight him, beat his ass, because cowboy's toast. But then when he fights these, you know, Nurmagomedov, Poirier, he gets his ass beat. So I'm thinking when they meet again in July, here you go with another chance. When he got the second chance against Diaz, he beat him, and I thought deserved that win. Do you think he'll be able to go to the hole one more time like he did against Diaz and beat Poirier? Or do you think it's going to be more of the same with Diamond dominating him?
I don't think he's going to dominate him, but I think he's going to beat him again. I think that Poirier is just a much better fighter right now all around. And, you know, when you're when you got a situation where you got a guy like that, like, he's so well-rounded. Like, how do you attack it? How does Connor go in there and in 4 months, you know, come up with a game plan to beat this guy? besides just, oh, I'm going to knock his head off, because that's what his game plan was. He knocked him out the first time, you know, pretty quickly within 90 seconds. So he's like, well, you know, I could just do it again, just forgetting what this guy has done over the couple of years since and how he has built himself up into this better fighter and these other fights that he's had. And if you just go off the fight that he just had with him, you know, what did he say? Okay, well, this is how he beat me. Well, he, you know, gave me calf kicks and I took away everything. I had no power. I couldn't move. How do you defend the calf kick? You know, Conor McGregor's going to figure it out in 4 months. And no one's going to figure it out in 3-4 years right now. You know, when Volkanovski started pulling it out and did that to Holloway, people started using it. No one's figured out what to do because you can't. You can't block it. Then it hurts your leg. You can't move your leg. Like, no matter what, it's going to hurt you. It's just how much damage do you do? So I don't think he's going to be able to stop that. Maybe he can try to use it himself. But even then, like, if he changes his style, maybe that opens him up more. It's a Poirier taking him down and throwing him around like I thought he might. I just think there's too many variables and things that Poirier can do, you know, if the game plan doesn't start off right and Conor does do something to kind of counteract what he wants to do. He just has more tools in his bag, I think. And in 4 months, I don't see Conor, you know, completely overhauling himself and making himself a good enough fighter all around to stop everything.
So he's already started up the nonsense, calling him a hillbilly and everything else, and kind of a constructed, like, cheesy, like, animosity type starter, you know, like fire starter. He just, like, started this whole act of, like, you're a hillbilly, you didn't give me the, or, you know, Poirier said he didn't give him a donation for his charity, and then it started the whole thing. And I didn't buy any of that. I thought the whole thing was cheesy and pathetic. But now that we've, because we never thought they were going to cancel that fight, Conor said the fight was over. They weren't fighting and he was going to fight Chandler or whoever. And we knew that was bunk. And so now that we know they're fighting in July at the T-Mobile in Vegas, what will the buildup be like now that he's, you know, gone at it with him, called him names, called him a hillbilly and everything else? Where does that pre-fight hype go from that point of the hillbilly stuff to, I'm not fighting, the fight's off, it's over, I'm going to fight someone else, who wants to fight me? Now, what do you think the strategy is for the mind games of the animosity, build-up, tension, hatred, you know, showman stuff? What do you think is going to happen between now and fight night?
Yeah, not just a hillbilly, but an inbred hillbilly, too, at that. I mean, whoa. You know, it's, I don't know if this goes anywhere. I think this was the hype. I think this was the drama. Like, maybe this is brought up again, but, you know, I don't think they're going to go with the whole donation thing for the whole time and, oh, you didn't give me the money and, well, you didn't do this. Like, first of all, that's boring. Who cares? You know, I know people, you know, obviously care that he gives them the money. They want him to do good work with his charity. That's how this whole thing started out between them. It was supposed to be a charity fight that didn't even involve the UFC before they jumped and said, whoa, 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 we're getting our piece of this. You know, so that's how this all started out, is these guys trying to actually do something good. So for it to be the whole, oh, I'm going to be a jerk and not give you the money because you're not emailing me line items on where my donation's going, that's just a boring promotion. That's a boring trash talking. I don't know where else they can go with that. I think it's going to be maybe, you know, just about disrespect, and he's going to keep with the inbred hillbilly and some other stuff. He'll find some other way to criticize him and bash him, and just what he's going to do, he's going to talk trash, and that's all he can do because he can't have the head games of, oh, well, I knocked you out, so I'm going to do it again. Because that's exactly what happened the opposite way. Poirier dropped his ass, so can't really talk trash about the result of the last fight. Can't act like he's some badass when he just got beat. So he's just going to insult him as much as he can, but that's not going to affect Poirier. Poirier's not some young kid that's going to, you know, be hot-blooded and get all worked up by this. He's a veteran. He's smart. You know, years ago when they first fought, sure, he would have been able to piss him off and get him worked up. Now he's too much of a veteran. He's been to the top of the game. He's fought the best, and he knows, you know, you can't get drawn in on the head games. You got to be smart. Stay in your lane, you know, stay in your game plan and not let the guy try to draw you into what he wants to do.
Wow. I can't wait, to be honest with you, even though we've already seen it twice, they've already, you know, just, I like Poirier too much and I want to see McGregor lose again. So I'm already hooked on it. I'm ready to go. Like, I wish it was July 10th. I'm ready to go right now. But I just watched that Rodon no-hitter celebration. Who do you, did you see it? Like the final out that he hit the third base and they threw it over to the first. And then they mobbed him and threw water bottles on him and everything else and sprayed him. I don't know which one, if you saw it, which one do you think is better, the Musgrove or the Rodon.
I mean, they're both great. They're both exciting. Everybody was hyped, but I like the Musgrove one a little bit better just because, you know, it means a little more. Not that it doesn't mean big to Rodon. Rodon, obviously, it's huge for him. Obviously, his, you know, teammates are happy for him. This is, you know, a career maker. This makes this is something that you're never going to forget. You know, this is going to be your pinnacle unless you can get a complete, you know, shutdown, perfect game. But given how much that San Diego didn't have it, given that Musgrove grew up as a Padres fan, you know, gets to come home and do it for his hometown team and be the first one to ever do it for them in over 50-year history, that one was a little better to me.
So he was pick number three in the 2014 draft, had shoulder surgery in 2017. Tommy John in 2019 was non-tendered by the White Sox in 2020 and then pitches a no-hitter in 21. Carlos Rodon. A wild ride to history. The guy throws a no-hitter for the White Sox tonight against the Indians. Very exciting. We've seen it all. I mean, Mafi and I, two nights out of three, we've seen almost perfect games, but not quite. Both pitchers beaned someone in the game and faced 28 hitters. That's crazy. So I don't know. The Sixers beat the Nets tonight, and they got it done. They didn't cover. I think they beat them by six. And I don't know if you saw the end of that game, but for some reason, and I know that obviously JoJo Embiid had a huge game, and you know, per usual, the guy lit it up. And one of the problems was that flat out, the Nets didn't play anybody. They did have Kyrie Irving playing. And he had a big night, 37 points and nine dimes. But at the end of the day, Embiid had 39, three threes, 13 boards, the double-double. But the fans in Philadelphia were chanting at the end of the game, Mafia, that KD sucks. They just kept chanting, KD sucks, KD sucks. And the easy money sniper was like, I mean, I'm not even playing tonight, and they're giving me the business. So he got this, you know, just the absolute Philly love push from the fans. They gave him the business, and then he was like, what is happening here? I'm not even playing. I'm in street clothes, and they're giving me the heat. But there's no denying that Embiid is a great, dominant physical presence and performer. He hit three threes in the game, 13 boards in the 39. He was 13 of 29. But the bottom line is that when Durant plays, he scores 30 every night as well. So I know I was watching Brandon Ingram tonight. They were talking about him as the Knicks beat the Pelicans. They talked about how Ingram, you know, models his game after Durant, and he does kind of play like him. He's long. He's 6'8 or whatever. Obviously, Durant's bigger, more like 7 foot. I think he's more like 6'11", whatever, but he, you know, is unstoppable shooting over everyone. He just can't be blocked. I mean, the guy gets up in the air when he shoots. He's unbelievable. But Brandon Ingram's become unbelievable as well. He does whatever he wants in these games. And then you got a guy like Embiid having 39. I mean, we all know KD doesn't suck. I mean, every night he plays, he has 30. So the Philly fans are just stupid drunks, and that's all there is to it. But they give everyone the business that isn't on the Sixers or Flyers or Eagles or Phillies. They just give you the business no matter what. But, I mean, you got to be smarter than to, you know, you're going to chant that a guy that scores 30 a night sucks. I mean, you got to go after – you got to be more creative than that. I mean, it's just not good enough. You can't peck on a guy that's A, not playing, and B, when he does play, the Sixers couldn't stop. I'll tell you what, they beat him 123-117 without Harden, without KD. So when they play, the Nets are going to beat the Sixers.
Working hard 24 hours a day to give you your USRDA of the winning edge. Everything a growing boy needs. Sit up straight. Get it right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. A good one in the FedEx Forum in Memphis off Beale Street. Memphis up 104-101 on the Mavericks. Brooks running with numbers. Allen on the wing. Brick. You know, the other night when he had 30, I thought it had to be a mistake. I just saw him chuck a brick. But anyway, the Grizzlies are up 3. Doncic has the pill. And your boy, the Zinger, trying to work on Anderson. The Zinger getting all involved. Oh, and he misses the layup, the kiss off the glass. It just hung on the rim and spun and did not go down. But they get the 3 anyway, and it's tied up. Woo! What a game. 104 apiece with 3.5 minutes to go. And then the Nuggets are up 93-77 on the Heat. I'm surprised with a minute left in the third. I really am surprised that the Heat didn't take advantage of no Murray tonight. Murray blew out his knee, having ACL surgery. I heard they're going to sign Austin Rivers. That's what I heard Denver's talking to him. Believe me, he's no Murray. Trust me, you. He was on the Knicks. He barely got any play at all, and no burn. But they got a problem. They've lost Murray now for the rest of the year. He's done. So he blew his knee out the other night. I thought the Heat would take advantage of that. They're getting their ass beat tonight by Denver, 93-77. And then the Wizards. I took the Wizards tonight. They're up in Sacramento, 82-76 right now with 5 minutes left in the third. Already in the books, the Knicks by 10 over the Pelicans as Randle outplays Zion. Zion was great. Knicks were better. Knicks win by 10. I hit the Knicks, and they were getting points. Here, let's see what that number was. It was 3. I'm sitting here looking at all the bets I made. Anyway, Knicks get it done. I love that bet on the road getting 3, and I took them to win outright. The Bucks, I took them as well and laid 9. They won easily, 130-105 during the day in Minneapolis. Everybody just pounds on the T-Wolves these days. Everyone just automatic. The Nets beat them by 30 on Tuesday. That's why KD didn't play against Philly, because he played against the T-Wolves. I don't know why they played him for as many minutes as they did against the T-Wolves. They were up 40. They should have sat him down. I took the Cavs tonight in Charlotte. The Hornets have run out of players. I think they got Rozier back. But they've got like 4 or 5 guys completely shut down right now with injuries. And I picked the Cavs to win, and they won by 13. Sixers by 6 over the Nets. That number went to 8.5 before tip-off, and the Nets covered backdoor. I had the Raptors winning outright over the Spurs, and they were getting 2. They won by 5. Nice double cover. I had the Clippers to win and the Pistons getting 10.5. That number went down to 3.5 because none of the Clippers played. The Pistons still covered the 3.5. They lost by 2. I got the Bulls wrong. The Magic beat them 115-106 in Chicago. I think that pretty much does it for the Chicago Bulls. In my opinion, they're 10 games under 500. The Bulls are finished. And they went out and got Vucevic, and they also have Zach LaVine, and they still suck. That's amazing to me.
I don't know what it's at now. It's probably like a 3-8 or 3-9. I have to look, but I know, like, in the first 10, they were 3-7 with him, which is surprising. You get a guy like that, how do you get worse?
I mean, they even lost to the Timberwolves on Sunday by 4. I mean, everybody's beating them. The last time they won a game was the 8th. They beat Toronto 122-113, and they beat the Pacers before that and the Nets before that, but they have been losing ever since. When they beat the Raptors, that was on the 8th, they lost the next night to the Hawks, then to the Timberwolves, then to the Grizzlies, and now to the Magic. So they won 3, then they lost 4. I think they're finished. I think you can write them off. In my book. Now, I'm sure, you know, I'm wrong, and they're probably still alive. Who knows? I wish I had the I don't really want to look at the the Bulls divisional. I want to look at the overall. Here we go. Let's see the overall chances. They're not even 8, 9, 10. They're the 10 right now. So right now, they're up a game and a half. No, one game. They're up one game on Toronto, 1.5 on Washington for that last play-in spot. So they're still in it. They're in the playoffs. So 7, 8, 9, and 10 play each other. 7 against 8, 9 against 10 play each other. And the two that win those two-game series, they go to the playoffs as the 7 and 8. So the top six.
They're 3 and 8 with Vooch.
They're 3 and 8 with Vooch. So right now, it's New York would play Charlotte and Indy would play the Bulls. And I got to tell you, I think the Pacers are average at best, but I still think the Pacers will beat the Bulls. I really do. I think they will. And then in the West, Portland's got the 6 and a 1.5 game lead over Dallas. So Dallas is the 7. They would play Memphis. Golden State's the 9. They would play San Antonio, the 10. Right now, Memphis is up 111-106 on Dallas with 2 minutes left in that game. So Dallas and Memphis, this is a preview of the play-in game. They'll play each other. Right now, it would be Dallas against Memphis. And then, like I said, Warriors against Spurs. I'll tell you what, you're going to have a problem stopping Steph Curry. I know that much. I looked at, I just wanted to show you, like they won tonight and they were lighting it up. So the Warriors won that game 147-109 over the Thunder. The Pacers beat the Rockets 132-124. In the Warriors win, Curry had 42 and 25 of his 42 in the third quarter. And the Warriors got away from it and, you know, blew out the Thunder at the Chesapeake. The guy, Curry, hit 11 three-pointers, 11 of 16 from downtown. And Draymond Green had a triple-double, 12, 10, and 16. That's impressive. But I was looking at his numbers from, you know, like from a standpoint, I saw this story earlier. I don't know if I can find it again right now. It might be a little difficult, but let's see if I can find it. I mean, it is absolutely staggering what his numbers are in the last few. Here they are. Listen to his last 8 games. 42 points, 6 and 8. 53 points in the night he passed Wilt Chamberlain. 53, 6, and 4. Before that, 38, 8, and 5. 32, 6, and 5. 41, 6, and 4. 37, 5, and 2. 36, 11, and 3. 32, 5, and 6. Those are just his last 8 games. That's insanity. Your boy is just absolutely filling it up. Steph Curry getting involved. You can't even stop him right now. The guy is just scoring at will again tonight. 11 threes. The other night he scored 20 in the first quarter when he passed Wilt Chamberlain. It really is unbelievable what the guy's been able to do. So anyway, I want to look at the hockey. I was watching the game. 112-110, Memphis up by 2 on the Mavs with Ja Morant, 16 points, 5 assists, 24 seconds left in the game. He hits the free throw. They're up 3. Dallas has the ball, 24 seconds left, and they need a 3 to tie. So as far as hockey, the Knights are up 4-2 on the Kings after 2 periods in Los Angeles. So much for our boy Denny Bernstein saying the Kings win the back end of every two, they play with somebody. Vegas kicked their ass the other night. They're going to do it again tonight. So far, yeah, the Sharks.
I didn't want to say anything to Denny, but I'd heard the stat on the NHL Network after the last game. They were like 5-0-1, the Vegas Golden Knights, on the second night of the back-to-back. So that stat trumped his and the show tonight.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, let's face facts. Vegas is so much better than the LA Kings. It's not even funny. The Ducks are up 2-0 on the Sharks. with 10 minutes left in the second. The Wild, during the day, in the afternoon, they finally played that game of the Coyotes, and they beat them 5-2. And then the Flames beat the Canadiens tonight at the Bell Center in Montreal 4-1. I can't figure out the Canadiens, how bad they suck. I mean, it is unbelievable. They just never get it done. They suck. I'm done with them. I'm going to bet against them every single night they play from now on. Jets 3-2 over the Senators, and the Avalanche beat the Blues 4-3. And that was it. It was light in the NHL tonight. As far as baseball goes, Dodgers up 3-0 on the Rockies in the top of the fifth at Chavez Ravine. Rockies have runners on first and second, one out. The Jays today in Dunedin beat the Yankees 5-4. Red Sox took two from the Twins. They've now won nine in a row. They won the first game 3-2. A sliding catch ended the game. And then they won the nightcap 7-1 and kicked their ass. Twins getting pummeled by the Red Sox. They play again tomorrow. The Pirates beat the Padres again, two in a row over the Padres. They beat Blake Snell last night, Paddock tonight. There you go, San Diego. Nice job. You can't beat the lowly Pirates in Pittsburgh. And you're going to beat the Dodgers and win the West and win the World Series. You can't beat the Pirates. And don't tell me it's just another game. I mean, the Pirates, they roughed up Blake Snell in the first inning last night. You can't beat the Pirates? I love it. My Buccos, they kicked the Cubs' ass. They're kicking the Padres' ass. Loving life, Mafia. Nationals 6-0 over the Cardinals. The Brewers 7-0 over the Cubs. The Royals pounded the Angels 6-1. The Giants have a winning record. They're up 3-0. They beat the Reds. Let's see what they're up to now. I know it's like 7-4. Now 8-4. They have a better record now than the Reds. The Reds are 7-5, so they went out to San Francisco, and it all caught up with them. Tigers, 3 in a row over the Astros. They beat them 6-4. I can't even believe the Tigers. That's just crazy. The Mets beat the Phillies and Zach Wheeler 5-1. Rangers 5-1 over the Rays at the Trop. Marlins in 10, 6-5 over the Braves. Rodon with the no-hitter for the White Sox, 8-0, no-hitter. He beamed one, almost a perfect game, but he gets the no-hitter over the Indians, 8-0, Chi Sox. And the Mariners and Orioles were washed. That Nuggets lead over the Heat is 108-87 now with 8 minutes left in the game. Timeout, 1.8 seconds left. Memphis up 2 on Dallas, 113-111. And in that game, I had the Grizzlies plus 2 on their home floor, and I bet on them to win outright and getting the 2. So 1.8 left. I'll tell you what happens. Luka's got 26-5-9 in this game. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, so you can't even imagine what just happened. Luka, my name is Luka. I live on the second floor. With a no time left, double team, running, leaning forward, falling down, chuck three. Boom, baby. His second game-winning buzzer beater. He hit it. His foot was behind the line. He was falling down, chucked it up, and it fell at the FedEx Forum in Memphis. And Dallas leaves 114-113. Over the Grizzlies, but Pharrell with the Grizzlies plus 2 on the spread. Shake out. Ooh. I like that cover with the plus two. But how about that shot by Doncic? I can't even believe they let him get the ball. What kind of shoddy ass defense? I mean, I know it's hard to stop him, but they still let him get the ball. And then he was doubled and he still got the shot off and he drained it all net, teardrop falling down. Unbelievable. And then I already told you, they're showing highlights right now of Curry, 11 of 16 from three tonight, just lighting the Thunder up like a Christmas tree. I mean, the guy had it all going, oh, another dagger from the deep wing. I'm watching this guy just scoring in droves. Carlos Rodon with a no-hitter tonight for the White Sox in Chicago on the South Side. What a crazy night. Tons of NBA. The Knicks went on the road against Zion and the Pels. We see a no-hitter. We see a crazy finish with Luka Doncic lighting up the Grizzlies. Curry going off, 42-6-8. Mafia, great job. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. Eastern. Good night, everybody. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.